Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for September 8th, 2011. It's not Canadian, but a Christian film is making a huge splash on social media right now. Courageous is the third major effort and fourth film produced by Sherwood Pictures, the movie-making ministry of Sherwood Church in Albany, Georgia. Their other films were Flywheel, Facing the Giants, and Fireproof, the number one independent film of 2008. Courageous tackles the topic of fatherhood, and the film has garnered a number of Canadian supporters and partners, including Promise Keepers Canada and 100 Huntley Street. Well, as of the recording of this broadcast, I hadn't seen a preview of Courageous yet, but if it's like anything Sherwood Pictures has produced, it will be a solid effort. For a film which used primarily volunteer and in some cases inexperienced actors, Fireproof was surprisingly well acted. The presence of veteran actor Kirk Cameron helped raise the bar, even though I found some weaknesses amongst some of the other cast members. What's encouraging about projects like this is how the quality of Christian films has improved over the years. For example, just compare the end-time films of my youth, like A Thief in the Night and A Distant Thunder, to the Left Behind series to see how Christian films have evolved. Winnipeg filmmaker Paul Bogue, whose church runs an annual film festival, wrote the following on the Canadian Writers Who Are Christian blog. Quote, "There's an increase in great Christian movies being made, ones that are realistic, genuine, and God-honoring. It's very exciting to see these developments." End quote. While I still think Christian filmmaking has room for improvement, there needs to be more emphasis on the story and less emphasis on the preaching, films like Courageous, which are produced by a church congregation, do bode well for the future of Christian films. I wonder if there's a church in Canada willing to follow Sherwood Church's footsteps. Only time will tell. Well, do you agree, disagree? What's happening with your church? Give me your opinion via email to robert@selawministries.ca, that's S-E-L-A-W, ministries.ca, and maybe we can begin a dialogue on this issue. Keep listening, and I'll repeat the email address at the end of today's show.
For memories on a starlit night, north of the Denby line, oh Lord. For frosted pines shining like diamonds in the morning sun. For a pretty girl and for falling in love, oh love. For spring ice churning the driftwood shore. For birdsong air and windswept hair, for fiddlehead strings and flower bows, for thunderclouds rolling in a purple evening, where aspen leaves play tambourine, and for a soul, a song, and a voice to sing just what I'm thinking. Thank you, God, for the open sky. Mysterious depths of emotion eyes. Thank you for my dreams.
That was For Life from the new Down Here CD, Altar of Love. CD was released in late August, and the band has and will be touring in support of it. Tonight's guest is the Waterloo Region connection to Down Here, Cambridge resident Glenn Lavender, who also happens to be Down Here's bass player. He's with me on the phone tonight to talk about Ultra Love and what the band's been up to lately. Good evening, Glenn.
Hey, how you doing, Robert?
Not bad. Good. Now, listen, just in case there's somebody out there who has never heard the story of where the band got together and that, can you do the Reader's Digest version of the band's history?
Yeah, we've gotten pretty good at doing that. Well, the band has been together for, this will be going on 11 years in its current form. But, you know, 11 years ago, basically the band got started at Briarcrest Bible College, which is out in Saskatchewan, kind of near Moose Jaw. And so two singers and songwriters, met up in Ontario. One was from close to us here. Burford, I think, is where his family was at the time, and it's Jason, and then Mark was out near Montreal. And they met up, and eventually got to know each other and ended up going to college together. And while they're at Briarcrest, they met our drummer, Jeremy, and formed a band. And one of the profs there started a little indie record label and basically helped them out in making their first album. And so they had a bass player at the college at the time there named Tyson, and that album generated some interest from Word Records in Nashville and eventually offered them a record deal. And so the down here moved from Saskatchewan to Nashville, minus a bass player. Tyson stayed back to finish up school. He's a little bit younger and was feeling like he needed to stay and do that. And that's where I came in. I had been able to meet the guys previously. At the time, there wasn't a ton of Canadian Christian acts around, and so we had met up. I moved down to Nashville with my wife, and we moved into the house with all the other guys. There were two married couples and three single guys all living in one house together, and my wife and I hadn't really spent much time with them at all, so it was kind of a... it was a God thing, honestly, because it really could have turned out bad.
Yeah.
But that was a while ago. That was 11 years ago, and we've been going strong ever since. My wife and I have since moved back to Waterloo region. We're up in Cambridge, and been here for 7 years, so I kind of commute. And we've been touring America, Canada, Europe. So we keep ourselves quite busy.
Well, that whole busy thing, I mean, between touring and doing the recording with Down Here, you've also been doing stuff with Hark the Herons. How do you keep everything straight? Or do you?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, sometimes I feel like I may be shortchanging myself on certain things. Like I'm not maybe because I'm kind of that master of none kind of a guy, and I've got myself spread thin because I think I have a short attention span or something. So I like to do a little bit of everything, and I don't know that I quite give everything that I do my best because I'm too interested in not being so focused, which may be a bit of a fault, but, you know, I really enjoy my life, and I've got a lot of interesting things going on. So I don't always keep it all straight, but I've got some excellent people in my life who help me out with that, and my wife is one, and thankfully, with the band, we've got resources and a label and management and even the other guys in the band to help kind of keep all of us straight and in line.
Well, I mean, speaking of that, I mean, you tweeted in late August, that, and this is your tweet, so just realized I'll be home for only 3 weekends between now and Christmas. Crummy to be away, but good to be busy and working. How do you stay in contact with your family, with your wife and kids? Because I know they're very important to you.
Yeah, well, and just to make that clear, I've only got a few weekends home, but I'm never gone for more than 2 weeks at a time. So you know, my wife and I talk probably 3 or 4 times a day when I'm gone. But a lot of those conversations just sort of being a check-in, seeing how each other are doing. I'm making sure she's not killing the children and staying alive herself. You know, we got three boys, young boys at home, and I want to make sure she's doing well. And if she needs help, I can call in some reinforcements to come over. And then she's just checking in on me to see how my day's going. So we keep up with each other pretty good that way. And
mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's Skype, and good cell phone plans and Skype are very important. And then getting home regularly, not being gone for super long periods of time. It's almost like we have seasons of away time and a couple of months maybe of away time where I'm gone for a lot of weekends and maybe home for 2 or 3 days during the week, every couple of weeks or something mm-hmm. like that. It all varies. And we've been doing it for a long time. We've kind of... I'm going to say we've kind of gotten used to it, but after I'm home for a while, then you kind of got to get used to it again. So, yeah, it can be a bit of a struggle.
Well, I mean, part of the reason you moved back in this area is because the family is here. You've got support systems for that. Does that help?
That helps tremendously. There's something too about having deep historical rich friendships, you know, like we moved to Nashville and I've made some great friends there now who I've now had for a decade, but when we moved there it's just a different thing to have friends that you don't really have this history with. And so coming back, having having some really great friends that I've known for my life, or, you know, just for a long time. And then my family, my parents are here in town, and my sisters are both here, and my wife's parents are in Toronto, and so everybody's pretty close. And so it's just nice if we need a weekend or something to get away, we've got the help, and we can make that happen a lot easier, and that definitely makes this job easier to do.
Do you ever find there being any conflict or tension between, you know, wanting to be at home or and being on the road? Does that ever crop up?
Yeah, you know, it's funny when I've been home for a while and I'm trying to maybe get some work done or something, and my boys are just coming to me all the time asking to play or something. Which just sounds awful now that I'm saying it out loud, but then it feels like, okay, I think I'm ready to get back on the road again. And then when I'm on the road, if I'm on the road for a little while, I start missing home and missing seeing my kids grow up, and then I start thinking I'm really doing a disservice to my children being gone for a week at a time. I'm missing out on them growing up. I really need to get home. So it's almost like when you're gone, you want to be home, and you're home, you want to be gone. It's that old thing, the grass is greener, I think.
Well, on a quick note and on another topic, well, you were talking about deep, lasting friendships. One of the things that happened was your friendship with Kaylin Allen and Hark the Herons. She's moved to Kingston. How's that affecting what Hark the Herons is going to be doing?
Well, we're still kind of figuring that out. We've been constantly in conversation, trying to we're just staying in touch and working things out. We had almost were going to be on tour with Down Here actually in December, but we couldn't make it work due to Kaylin's work schedule. Unfortunately, that would have been kind of a fun thing, but yeah, we're still plugging away and trying to find good opportunities to play. And again, it's. We've kind of added a complication because my schedule is already pretty brutal, and now we're 3 hours, is it, apart, or 4 hours?
Yeah, so, 3 or 4 hours, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely going to become a little bit more challenging, but we're still sort of feeling out that ground and sorting out how that's going to work.
Yeah, I think you got some fans out there that'll want to see that continue, so.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, what I need to do is take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Down Here bassist Glenn Lavender. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Holy from the newest Down Here CD titled Altar of Love. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Down Here's bass player, Glenn Lavender. Altar of Love's been out for a few weeks now. What's been the reaction to the CD?
Oh, it's been really great, actually. The first song we released to radio is called Let Me Rediscover You, and that song was having such a really good response with people, and then so it's been fun to follow that up and finally release the album. And so yeah, we've the one good thing, it can be challenging to be on the road and to do this work sometimes. It's not the most financially rewarding job you can have, but at the same time it is very rewarding because we've got we know we're doing kingdom work, you know, and people often send us messages telling us how certain songs help them get through really rough patches in their lives, and that's already been happening with these new songs that have only, I mean, the album, like I said, only been out just a bit over a week, so it's, I don't know, it's just really cool to see, and I look forward to seeing that more. And the new songs that we've been playing live, we've thrown a couple of them into the set, and now that the album's out, we'll be adding more, but we've been getting such a great response from those as well. And, you know, it's been a while since we've released an album, so for us, too, it's just been great to add new songs, and for people who see us often, they've seen a similar set for a little while, so they're happy to see the new songs, or hear the new songs as well.
Well, I mean, there's a depth to some of the lyrics in this that there's been an evolution in the depth of the lyrics. I mean, I look at Glory by the Way of Shame. There's just a really good story behind that in terms of reconciliation between families and individuals. So there's just been some really, really solid stuff going on at the lyrical end of things. And sort of speaking of that, I mean, you've got two songwriters, and they're also the lead singers. How does a Down Here CD come together?
Yeah, it's an interesting process, and this one took a little bit longer due to, I think, some life stuff that was happening most particularly with Mark. He's our the high voice in the band, but he bought a house and got married all in the same year, and it bought his first house, I should say, and got married in the first year, in the last year. So he, for a guy who's been single his whole life and mostly spent his time sitting in his little home studio singing songs, that kind of changed things dramatically. But basically, Jason and Mark will be at home. They'll write songs and demo them on their computers, you know, with their recording programs, and so they'll just kind of send the demoed songs to all of us, and between the band and certain members of the label and our management, we kind of go through all these demoed songs and figure out which ones feel like they're the strongest to us. Occasionally Jason and Mark will get together and write as well. That hasn't happened super often, but it occasionally happens, and it happened on one song for sure on this new one. So anyway, we'll get these songs, we'll go through and make a list of the ones that we like, and when we feel like we've got enough to record a great album, then we go from the demo stage to moving into the studio and recording them for real, working on it together. And the songs change a little bit from the demo stage to the real recording, not sound, but also in arrangement, or, you know, some lyrical changes possibly. So if that happens in the studio.
Hello?
Hey, sorry, that happens in the studio as well.
Sorry, I lost you there for a sec. You talked about arrangements and that. Who does the arranging? Is that something that you guys do as a band, or is that something that the label comes in and helps with? How does that all come together?
Well, there's a pretty stable arrangement is usually done with the demo, but often with the demo there might be things like, okay, that first verse just went on too long, we got to get to the chorus a bit quicker, let's work out cutting maybe a line here or a line there, or, you know, that kind of thing. And that happens between the band and the producer generally. And sometimes it happens a little bit as well with the label when we're just talking about the song. So we may be looking at our list of songs and listening to one and say, well, you know what, this song would be a better contender if we just could get to that, again, same thing, if we could just get to that chorus quicker. That's just an easy issue to talk about. If we did that, then that song, I feel, would be as strong as this one. And so, you know, it's kind of a, it's something that's worked out between a bunch of us, and our producer, whoever's producing, does play a large part in that process as well, because they're coming in from the outside, and it's usually somebody that, well, we've definitely got respect for, and we want their input, so, yeah.
It sounds sort of like really technical on that. Where does sort of the spiritual end of things come in? Because I know the one element that is really strong in all of Down Here Song is there's a real sense of God's presence coming through the lyrics and the music, the fact that it's this whole package. It's not just a good song from a technical perspective. There's the spiritual component as well.
Well, I think that comes a lot from. Jason and Mark are both pastor sons, so for starters, it's just something that's been a major part of their lives. Not just being a Christian, but thinking about it in a more deep way, and understanding your own theology and what you believe. So that's definitely been something that's important to both of them their whole lives. And your input is important. What you're reading, what you listen to. We all listen to a bunch of different sermons and podcasts and stuff. And coming from Ravi Zacharias and John Ortberg and all sorts of different great gifted teachers that we're always trying to input into our lives with, and that just ends up coming out in the songs, I think. There's also the sermons you get from home, from your home church, and then of course whatever you're reading and scripture. So there's so many ways to input, and as a artist and creator, you need to have those things because you're kind of not expected, but honestly, it's like God's put it in you to output, and so in order to have that, you need to keep bringing stuff in to spur on your creation,
Mm-hmm. Well, you posted some videos of the whole recording process.
That was kind of a fun thing. Give people a chance to see how some of it goes down, anyway.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot more labor intensive than a lot of people think.
Yeah, for sure. It's when you see the behind the scenes clips on DVDs, and you realize the sense of holy cow, making that movie is a lot of work. Making an album isn't quite the same amount, but I mean it's in the same realm. You listen to something, it takes you 3.5 minutes to listen to a song, but it it takes you two months to, well, not including the writing of the song, but 2 months just to get the recording down of the album. And it's definitely a process, really involved.
Well, what's the most exciting part of the process for you?
As we're going through and choosing the songs, it's always, I think it's kind of when we finally select, okay, these are the songs, this is it, and then you've kind of got the vision, okay, I think we got an idea what this thing could sound like, and to see the change from the demo to the album version, I'm always super impatient to get to the end of the recording and hear the mix, because I guess it's the mix, now that we've gotten this far in the conversation. So we record all our tracks separately, the drum, well, they're all individual tracks, the bass, the drums, the guitar, every guitar part, all the vocal parts, and then we've got somebody whose job it is, his job is just to mix these tracks together, and when he's mixing, it creates, this is when the song really, really changes for me. We had a song on our last album called My Last Amen.
Yep.
And I remember when I heard the mix for that song the first time, I was blown away. I kept thinking, what happened to this song? How did it turn out so cool? And it's because our mixing engineer just did some really great stuff that brought out the stuff that we thought was cool when we were recording, brought those out at the right time, ducked vocals under at the right time, or whatever, he does his magic. And to me, that's when things really turn cool.
What's the most tedious part of the process?
The most tedious is probably a part that... as a musician, you don't have to deal with too much, but it's probably getting into some of the editing stuff, where the engineer and setting up the microphones. For me, that's the kind of tedious stuff, I guess, getting the microphones, trying to get the right sound. There's something about that that's also enjoyable, but if to me, you can become so picky in that process of, no, there's not quite enough treble or bass or mid-range, or it's kind of honky, or, you know, that can go on for a long time sometimes, and you kind of get tunnel vision. So it's good to just pull back and be like, no, you know what, things get recorded really quick sometimes, and it's that's what's the magic in it, is the sound, is that, you know, the musicians weren't so focused on making sure everything was unbelievable, but so that kind of stuff kind of wears me down sometimes, but I understand the need for it as well.
Yeah. Well, I know you're going to be touring and sharing the songs from Altar of Love and that. Are you going to be in the area at any time?
I know we're not going to be here between now and Christmas, from what I can see, but I think we're trying to pull off some sort of a tour for the spring, and nothing guaranteed here, but we're talking about maybe bringing our Christmas tour up into Canada for 2012. So we'll see. We'll see if that works out. We're just looking into that right now, because we've done it in the States for years, and it'd be fun to pull it off in Canada, and I think our Canadian audience would really enjoy it. It's the Christmas tour is always a fun time for us, too, because we're playing different music than we play all year long, although we do keep a couple of the favorites in there, so we don't get in trouble from our fans.
Yeah. Where can people get more information about it and keep up to date on what you guys are doing?
Yeah, well, of course, downhere.com. Our Facebook page also, we keep up with that. It's us who respond to you on Facebook, and if it says that Down Here responded or commented on your post, then one of us did. You know, it's we're active on that, so that's a good spot too. And then downhere.com, yeah. And then if you want to just email us or whatever, you can do that through the website as well.
Great, Glenn. Thanks very much for your time.
For sure, Robert. Thanks, man.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection. Thank you to my guest Glenn Lavender. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.